From Vermont Public, this is Brave Little State. I'm Burgess Brown.
And I'm Nina Keck.
Any preferences for where we drive?
No, this can be the mystery tour. I'm just going to book her.
Yeah.
You just waved.
I did. That's my neighbor and fellow timber framer.
Oh, wow, that was a full hand wave. Do you know him?
I do.
Okay. So Mika Tucker and I are heading north on the Tunbridge Road, trying to see who's going to wave, who's not, and what sort of stylistic differences we see. Okay, coming up on a pedestrian, throwing the wave. Oh, nice wave in return.
No wave.
I think this is too fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even a one finger. I noticed you tried the one finger on that one. It did not work. All right, so now the speed limit drops to 35. We'll see if we have any more waves here.
Yeah.
Two hands!
Two hands! Yes! That was great! I don't know him, but he gave me two hands!
Two hands, one finger. Everyone has their own take on the so-called Vermont wave. If you live in a rural part of Vermont and have been driving slow enough, you've definitely seen it. That little finger or hand flash from another driver.
And it makes me feel so at home. It makes me feel so...
Mika Tucker, who I was driving around with, is this episode's winning question asker. She lives in South Stratford and lived in Norwich for a few years before that. But she was born in Scotland and raised in New Orleans. And she says after growing up in the South, Vermont has been an adjustment.
I miss the darlings and the hugs and the boisterous sort of friendliness of the South.
Mika says the one thing that comes close to that in Vermont is the wave people do from behind the wheel.
It's the thing that makes me feel like I belong here. But I had to, when I first saw it, I was like, what are people doing? And I felt like it was immediately recognized it as a kind of code that I didn't know how to do. So it was definitely an outsider thing for me.
Do you lift one finger off the steering wheel or two? Who gets a whole hand wave and who doesn't? When exactly do you do it? And what does it mean?
Since I'm sort of still learning this whole code, I'd love to hear from people who've lived here all their life that, oh no, this is definitely how you do it.
These are the sorts of investigations, dear listeners, that Brave Little State lives for.
Welcome to Brave Little State, Vermont Public's people-powered journalism project. We answer your questions about Vermont, ones that you vote on and deem worthy. And whenever possible, we bring our winning question asker along for the reporting, or in this case, along for the ride.
I'm Mika Tucker, and I live in South Stratford, Vermont. And I want to know, what's up with the Vermont wave?
Reporter Nina Keck explores the unwritten rules of the road.
You know, you expect to be courteous when you meet someone, pull over in the right spot.
If you don't wave, it's kind of considered rude.
And what these rules can tell us about our communities.
There is an added layer of, we got to take care of one another.
We're a proud member of the NPR network. Welcome.
Brave Little State has support from Horsford Nursery Charlotte, partnering with Vermont schools to plant Arbor Day trees for 30 years. Native trees for your spring plantings are available at the nursery and online. Opening day is April 15th. Complete plant catalog and pricing at horsfordnursery.com. And Basin Harbor Resort and Boat Club on Lake Champlain in Vergennes, welcoming Vermonters to their restaurants and lakeside cottages at special resident rates. Explore the dining and accommodations and make a reservation for their upcoming season at basinharbor.com/VT.
So let's get back to it. to those ephemeral moments on the road when you and a stranger connect.
The first time I realized that it was a thing was riding around with my father.
This is Tim Curran. He grew up outside Bennington in Shaftesbury.
And I saw him just waving at all sorts of people. And I remembered asking him, you know, who is that? And he said, I have no idea. I don't know who it is.
Tim's 35 and lives in Thetford now. And like his dad, he waves all the time.
If you do it often enough, you sort of develop your own little style.
Tim says he tends to raise one or two fingers straight up from the top of the steering wheel. If he knows the person, he throws in a little extra.
My personal flourish tends to be a little bit of a wave and then a point if I'm acknowledging somebody that I recognize.
A personal flourish doesn't have to be ephemeral. Some can be legendary. Tim tells me about a wave like that belonged to a guy named Tiger Dick.
He would sit at the end of the road from the dump at Tunbridge.
Tiger Dick's real name was Elbert R. Barnaby. He collected returnable bottles and cans.
And he would always wave to everybody that passed by, no matter whether he knew you, whether he recognized the car. You know, it was if there was a car going by, his hand was going up in the air, you know, pinky and ring finger down, and then everything else right straight up.
Not only was Tiger Dick iconic in Tunbridge, so was his unique wave, like a half-Spock salute from Star Trek.
He was just so well known by, you know, everybody around town that when he passed away, somebody erected a small memorial to him, placed up on a tree, just simply saying the word bye, B-Y-E, and his little signature hand wave was right next to it.
Elbert Barnaby, a.k.a. Tiger Dick, died in October 2022. He was 75. You can see a photo of that memorial Tim's talking about at bravelittlestate.org. Since our question asker, Mika, was asking for tips on how to properly do the Vermont wave, I went looking and actually found a lesson on YouTube.
Hoi, I'm Charlie.
And I'm Margaret. And we are, as they say, real Vermonters.
This is Maya McCoy and her husband Brent playing a version of themselves in a YouTube skit about real Vermont etiquette.
And it's for the newcomers, of course, but it's also for the locals. Because we've noticed some of us are slipping.
I called them up to get their thoughts.
Dirt roads are really important because you're going slow. So there's time to see somebody, acknowledge, and wave. Sometimes, you know, on Interstate 89, it's really a challenge to wave at people.
Brent and Maya were both born in Vermont and live in Greensboro in the Northeast Kingdom. They're vaudeville-type circus performers. They travel all over the world to fairs, special events, outdoor city celebrations. During the pandemic, when they couldn't do any of that, they produced some short videos for Hardwick's public access television station. You just heard a snippet of one about what it means to be a Vermonter. And you guessed it, there's a lesson on waving.
I'm a huge fan of the Vermont accent, and I can turn it on real thick on the drop of a hat, you know, because that's where my roots are from.
I asked them to give me a little sample in character.
All right, well, picture this. You're driving down the road. It's a beautiful day. Sun is shining.
But then you see a car coming. Okay, you've never seen that car before in your life. So,
well, what do you do?
Well, good question.
You take your forehead, and it goes down about 4 inches down. And simultaneously, which means at the same time as I just recently learned, your finger goes up. Make sure it's the correct finger. That would be your index finger. Mm-hmm. If you're in Massachusetts, it's the next one down, and that's the kind of waving they do there. But if you're in Vermont, it's the index finger.
It's fun to poke fun, Brent tells me. But this wave thing, there's something deeper there, a nonverbal colloquialism that's just part of how things are done in Vermont and have been for generations.
It's like you want to borrow your neighbor's wood splitter and you want to have that ongoing, you know, support infrastructure that goes on between rural neighbors, you know, check on our house if the power goes out kind of thing. Keeping those little degrees of connection alive. It's just one little method for doing that costs nothing and feels good along the way.
It's the original like button where you get that little bit of dopamine of I was seen, and that's pretty cool.
Speaking of like buttons, when the question about waving won, we went to social media and asked for your input on Reddit, Instagram, even the BLS hotline, and we got an earful.
Hi, my name's Tess. I'm calling in about the waving question because, you know, not only is it friendly, but if you walk a lot like I do, you know, go out and walk my dog, I feel like when I wave at all of the cars and I get them to notice me a little extra, then they'll remember that there's pedestrians on their road and maybe drive just like a little bit safer.
Some people mentioned how a wave can help you get out of an actual conversation with someone, which can be handy. A mail carrier in Vermont said waving to everyone can sometimes be a pain, but he called it essential to his job for the support and trust it symbolizes. So maybe there is utility to it, but maybe it's just the nice thing to do.
Well, you always wave at someone else, usually, when you meet someone. Especially in this neighborhood. I mean, you know about everybody.
Grayling Van Alstyne is someone I met while working on another story. He grew up on a farm in East Barnard and still lives close by today. He considers the wave Vermont car manners.
Yes, it is. It's no road rage. You know, you expect to be courteous when you meet someone, pull over in the right spot.
Which is important when you're on a dirt road that may only be wide enough for one car. But what about paved roads in larger cities? A lot of people who reached out to us on this topic wondered about Burlington. We heard over and over that the waving stops when they hit city limits. So are people in the state's bigger cities just not friendly? Do they not know about Vermont car manners?
When bus drivers drive by, we tend to sort of give one another like the two fingers or the nod.
That's after the break.
Thanks to SRH Law for their support of Brave Little State. SRH Law, a law firm with a mission, dedicated to helping clients create a positive, lasting impact by working to secure our energy future, build more inclusive communities, and advance a values-led economy. SRHlaw.com. Making a difference is their practice. And Union Bank of Vermont and New Hampshire, helping Vermonters buy homes and local businesses create jobs since 1891, offering residential, municipal, and commercial loans. ublocal.com.
Welcome back to Brave Little State. I'm Nina Kack, and in this episode, a look into the Vermont wave, which seems to be alive and well in rural Vermont. But what about in Vermont's biggest city? My colleague Sabine Pooks in Burlington takes it from here.
It's 8 in the morning on the corner of North and Rose Streets in Burlington's Old North End. I'm here to test a theory that people in Burlington don't wave when they're driving on the main roads. There are just too many other cars to do that. But outside of their cars, it's harder to hide. And this seems to be where the waving happens.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, and it's funny because, like, if I were to just stand here with no job to do for 45 minutes every morning, I'd probably get arrested. You know what I mean? But it's my job to be here. I have this day glow jacket on, and so nobody really questions it. But yeah,
Christine Tyler Hill is a crossing guard for the city of Burlington. Waving is a big part of the job. And in the early hours of the morning, her corner is a great place to watch pedestrians wave to her and to each other. Many of them are kids walking to school.
Do you get to talk to them? Like, what's like an interaction like?
Not here. No, it's all business, you know? They're on their way to work, if you will.
All business. It's true that this close to the start of the school day, kids seem too hurried to give much more than a quick nod. But there's definitely still a typical wave Christine exchanges with pedestrians as they cross her corner.
It's kind of the, like, slight tilt of the head, smiling eyes thing. Like, just an acknowledgement of another person on the sidewalk being like, hey, we're out here, you know?
If in rural Vermont, a wave between drivers is a way to say, hey, I'll pull you out of a ditch, or I'll check on you when your power's out. Here, maybe it's more a gesture of solidarity between two walkers or bikers who are a bit more exposed out in the open.
There is an added layer of, we gotta take care of one another.
City roads have to accommodate all kinds of traffic. Cars, pedestrians, bikers, even buses. And each time a bus passes through Christine's intersection, she nods and the bus driver puts up a hand.
To compare it to that sort of back road, two cars passing, drivers kind of give each other what I would call the Vermont wave. Mm-hmm. I think that the interactions I have with bus drivers is the closest equivalent. Mm. Because I think what's happening on back roads is people are acknowledging, like, we're out here. Mm-hmm. I see you. And I think with bus drivers, there's a shared sense of, like, we're out here keeping things moving. When bus drivers drive by, we tend to sort of give one another, like, the two fingers or the nod. Mm-hmm. Just to be like, hey.
Bus waves, pedestrian and biker waves. You also told us about Jeep waves, pickup truck waves, and motorcycle waves. The one I see most is where bikers extend one arm straight down as they pass another motorcyclist, but styles vary. And I rented a convertible many years ago to drive up to Montreal with friends, and afterwards, driving it back to the rental shop in Rutland, I was shocked and thrilled to realize there's a convertible wave, and I was briefly in the club. A number of you wondered if waving to strangers was just a Vermont thing, or at least a New England thing.
It's definitely not.
Margaret Daly lives in Pittsford, Vermont, and is originally from Texas.
It's something that I encountered my entire life growing up in West Texas and kind of North Central Texas.
We heard similar reports from people in Missouri, the Plains, Arizona, and other southern states who told us waving is more a small town thing than anything else. So, sorry, Vermont, we're not that special. In researching this episode, I came across a cool article about a 2,000-year-old stylized human hand made from a sheet of mica. It looked like it was doing an ancient wave, if you will. So I called the guy who wrote the piece, Steve Nash.
I'm president and chief executive officer of Archaeology Southwest in Tucson, Arizona.
Steve Nash told me Native Americans who are part of the Hopewell culture in Ohio crafted the now famous 11-by-7-inch cutout, and it's stunning.
As an archaeologist, we work with the material that preserves really well in the archaeological record. But I always think about the intangible aspects of it, and waves don't preserve, hand waves don't preserve in the archaeological record. But every, as far as I know, every human society waves.
In fact, he says there's a fundamental message that an empty raised hand conveys.
Yeah, it's demonstrating that you're not holding a weapon in that hand. So it is a disclosure mechanism. It's just a wave to us, but if you don't know what it is, it looks like a signal of some kind. But if there's a different wave out there and you do it incorrectly, it immediately identifies you as somebody else, as not somebody who is from Vermont. So there certainly is an aspect of group identity, group inclusion in all of this.
Steve Nash got me thinking. Since I started working on this episode, I've thought a lot about when I wave and when I don't and why. I live on a dirt road in a tiny town, and when I first moved to Vermont and still had Virginia plates on my car, waving felt awkward and just kind of wrong, like I was at a party in the wrong clothes. So there is a clubbiness to it, which is probably why humans wave when they're driving or out walking. Many of us even do an awkward side-to-side wave during Zoom calls. Once you start to do it, and start to belong, it feels good. Maybe question asker Mika Tucker got it right.
Becoming part of Vermont takes work.
Shoveling out your neighbor after a snowstorm and showing up at community dinners and town meetings.
At your school, at your PTA, at your church, wherever.
Mika thinks the wave is just another part of that effort, another part of belonging.
I wave at the people who came out last week to fix all the downed power lines and, saw up those trees that were across the road. It's, hey, you know, you're making it through the hard winters. You're making it through the houses that have burned down, through the floods, through all those things. It's like I recognize you. I see you. I'm going to be there for you. And I know you'll show up for me.
Or, as Brent McCoy would put it,
it ain't that important, but it also kind of is.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. And thanks to Mika Tucker for the great question. To see photos from Nina's reporting, visit bravelittlestate.org or click the link in our show notes. While you're there, sign up for our free newsletter and ask a question about Vermont, our region, or its people that you want us to explore in a future episode. We're also on Instagram and Reddit, @bravestatevt. This episode was reported by Nina Keck and produced by me, Burgess Brown. Editing and additional production from the rest of the Brave Little State team. That's Sabine Pooks and Josh Crane. Angela Evansy is Brave Little State's executive producer. Our theme music is by Ty Gibbons, and other music comes from Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Brittany Patterson and John Delgadillo. Brave Little State is a production of Vermont Public and a proud member of the NPR network. If you like our show, you can make a gift at bravelittlestate.org/donate, or you can leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back soon with more people-powered Vermont journalism.
Hey Vermont, Mitch Wertlieb here, and I host a daily news podcast from Vermont Public called The Frequency. You'll hear top stories from our newsroom in less than 15 minutes every weekday morning. Connect with our state when you search for The Frequency wherever you like to find podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.